welchem Licht?
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to a spooky Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Adairan Jenkins. On today's show, balls.
not one of your specialist subjects,
no,
though,
it's
is
actually
it?
Not.
But we're talking to Jordan about a new calendar to raise awareness and money for testicular cancer.
Plus, we were all lucky enough to attend the Irish Film Festival, so Andy's going to be speaking to the organiser about how things went.
All that and lots of spooky things today here on Shout Out.
There's no bum ba dum bum though, is
no,
there?
No, there's not.
I wanted a spooky bum
bum bum bum bum bum bum bum. So happy Halloween, everyone.
Spooky.
I mean, it's technically tomorrow, but
yes.
So unless you're listening on one of our other stations, it might actually be today.
And then happy Halloween.
Or the podcast.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah.
Or Hallows Eve.
Yeah. Oh, Hallows Eve. So, who's feeling creepy
today? The veil
today?
Between the living and the dead is supposed to be thinnest, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
So would you like some news?
Any creepy news or just news?
Well, it's fan news, I guess.
Oh, okay,
you say.
Yeah, go on then.
You remember, was it last year or the year before Hocus Pocus 2 came out?
Yes.
Hocus Pocus 3 has been confirmed.
Oh, interesting.
All of the actors and actresses have all said that they're up for it, so it's kind of starting the
wonderful
ball rolling.
Starting the train.
So I loved Hocus Pocus 2. I love the nods to the first one, like
yes.
when she flew out on the Roombas as opposed to the Hoover. have you all seen Hocus
yes.
Pocus?
Yes, I actually haven't.
You haven't? Have you seen Hocus Pocus 1?
Oh, I've seen Hocus Pocus 1 probably more than 20 times.
20?
Yeah.
You're not counting though, are you?
No, I just love it. I think it's an
amazing
film.
It was a complete flop as a film though.
At the time. And now it's like a cult classic.
It's a massive cult classic, yeah.
It's in good company because Rocky Horror was a complete flop as well.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Is Hocus Pocus Rubble Trouble Toil and Trouble? Is that them? Or have I made that
no,
up?
No, that comes from where's that original
that
from?
Which is not that, in that. That's no. from Hamlet.
Right,
yes,
there we go
say,
then.
Rubble Trouble Toil and Trouble.
Yes.
I mean easily confused, right?
Yes. Well,
I
mean they
sorry, what did
then.
I say? Hamlet.
Macbeth.
I meant Macbeth.
Okay.
Got there in the end.
Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Shakespeare.
I tried to make something work there and it didn't work. Okay, moving on.
Please watch it though.
Okay, sure. It's on wonderful. My list. As after we watched Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, I think I can trust the opinion of everyone.
Yeah, and Practical Magic is
yes.
amazing.
Yes.
Sandra Bullock and Stockard Channing. And the Australian actress Nicole Kidman.
Oh, I love Nicole Kidman.
The one that joyfully divorced Tom Cruise.
Yes, and has really weird fingers.
Oh, it was. Have you not seen the clip of her coming out of the divorce hall or whatever they call it?
Oh, yeah,
divorce
she's
office. And she's literally cheering with her arm, like, woo!
And she's got really weird fingers.
She has,
like,
actually.
This,
quite
in a spooky season.
Spidery
Halloween.
Fingers.
Yeah.
No offence, Nicole.
Do you know what? Maybe if they need a new Spider-Man, they could just hire her.
Yeah. That's how
Tom
Spider-Man
Holland,
sounds.
Sit down. We've got
Is anyone doing fireworks?
No.
Why? That's not till next week, is it?
Well, technically, yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
You?
They kind of go
holiday.
I mean, they've been letting
you're
fireworks
just
off.
The year away, Andy.
They've been letting fireworks off near me for like a month.
Really?
So far.
Yeah, I've seen.
It'll be going on till New Year as well.
It was really. We went to the supermarket last night, and the only pumpkins that were left were all the odd-shaped ones. Everyone had taken all the round ones.
But
the wonky ones.
I would purposely want the wonky ones.
Yeah.
Would
you?
Yeah.
Right.
It's cute. Because they're a bit bent.
A bit bent.
I don't know. I just like things a bit different. You need circular pumpkins anyway.
Anyway, we've been trying to get this out for a few weeks. So some of the events we talk about in this next feature happened weekend just gone, but there's more coming up this coming weekend. Hopefully next year we're actually going to get Jordan and Co down to Bristol to do a launch as well. Jordan's promising me he's not going to do a calendar next year, and I know he will because he always does. If you don't remember Jordan, he was actually a Shout Out Listeners Award winner.
Yeah.
And he did a calendar last year for charity. And he's back again launching one for 2026. Have a listen to this. So I'm very pleased to welcome back to the show a guest we had on a few months ago. And then a few months after that, he went on to win a certain Shout Out Listeners Award. So very welcome back to Jordan. Lovely to have you back on the show again, mate.
Hello, thank you for having me back.
So now I have to admit, your calendar that you gave me, that was what we talked to you about last time, is literally right beside me on my wall with September's on it, waiting a day or two to tick over to October. But it's been there since you gave it to me. But do you want to recap for our listeners what it was that we were talking about and where the calendar came from?
Yeah, of course. Last year I'd done a charity calendar to raise money and awareness around testicular cancer. So the charity that we raised money for was for the Oddballs Foundation. And the calendar featured local guys from my gym, including a testicular cancer survivor. And we also wanted to raise awareness. So in the calendar, we included facts around testicular cancer and also how to check yourself as well. And I ended up selling over 200 copies.
Amazing. Well done. So, and it was really nice because they're all like friends of yours. They just go to the gym with you, aren't they?
Yeah, so they're all guys that go to my local gym and we sort of pitched the idea to them. And they were like, yeah, sure. So we done it and it was great.
So because that was some of the questions we got back was, how do you convince your mates to get half their kit off and be shot for a calendar? People are like, how do you even start that conversation off? But I suppose when it's for something serious like testicular cancer, it's kind of, you know, it does inspire. Because as men, you know, even, not just gay men, but just men in general, we're terrible at looking yes. after ourselves and checking that kind of thing. And testicular cancer can be very serious if left untreated, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely, which is why it was really important that we didn't just raise money, but we educated people on how to check themselves, because the earlier that obviously you catch a problem, if you get the news that you do have testicular cancer, then it's much easier to treat the earlier that you catch it.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, it can be as tiny as feeling like a tiny little grain of rice when you're having a feel around.
Exactly that.
But if you do, I mean, we'll put some links up against the podcast on our website for people so they get some more info on it too. But, you know, it is important that you check yourself. And if you do notice anything like that that's you're not sure of, don't leave it. Go talk to your doctor or go to your local GUI clinic or something and, you know, get an expert advice. It may be nothing. Yeah. But it's better to know than not, which is a bit like all these things, isn't it? It's always better
exactly.
to know.
Exactly. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Now, you were in Mr. Gay UK. I can't remember if we asked last time. Did we let the listeners know how that went? I think you were still kind of finishing it when we spoke to you.
Yeah, so I came third in the UK. So I didn't quite win the trophy and the crown, but
but bronze, that's still good. That's still really good.
Bad.
And of course, from that you went on to end up in our Shout Out Listeners Awards, which we had in February. And congratulations, you won.
Thank you very much.
So was that expected? Did you think that was going to happen?
I was so shocked to win that. You know, I just really appreciate everybody that nominated and voted. Like, it actually made me quite emotional because you know, you don't realize what an impact you've had on people or a community, and that the kind things that people said, you know, during when the voting was open and after was brilliant. So yeah, thank you to everyone that voted.
Cool. Now, I won't go all the way back through all the Mr. Gay case stuff because, of course, we covered that in a previous show. It's a lot more than the old days in the 90s when it was just look good and stand up on a stage and the like. You did a lot of charity stuff for it, didn't you?
Yeah, I raised over £5,500 for their chosen charities. You had to sit an exam. Of course, there was still an element of pageantry, so we had to do free runways and a public vote. So it was quite full on. And the prize was to be an advisor to the Equalities Minister at the time before the government changed hands. So, yeah, that's why I entered, because I just wanted to make an impact.
Now, but you're back at it, not Mr. Gay UK per se, but you're back at it again. What are you up to this time?
Yeah, so since I've seen you, obviously, I run my own pride where I'm from in a little place called Swale in Kent. So we just wrapped that up towards the end of July and we had our Pride Day and after party, which was fantastic. And now I've started a new charity calendar.
Now, are we doing oddballs again or is it something different this time?
No, so this time it's called the Red Ribbon Calendar in honour of World AIDS Day, and it's raising money for two amazing charities, the Terence Higgins Trust and the Sussex Beacon.
Amazing. Most people will probably have heard of Terence Higgins Trust. They've been around for quite some time, haven't they? So, but have you had to go tempt all your gym mates again, or is it something different this time?
No, I'd done something different this time. So the guys that were in the oddballs calendar with me were all straight, but this time it's a gay calendar. So all of the models are part of the LGBTQ plus community. It's for two amazing charities that's such a lifeline for our community as well. And our lovely friends at Addicted Underwear UK sponsored the and gave us the underwear to wear in the calendar as well.
Oh, amazing. So have you shot it yet or is it planned? Or
yes, I have shot it.
Oh, you have?
It's available online at the moment. So you can visit my Instagram page or I can share the links with you guys as well. But yeah, it's available to purchase online. And we're also doing a couple of launch parties. So me and the boys will be in Brighton on the 25th of October. It's a Saturday at a venue called Bar Broadway, where we'll be selling and signing the calendars. And then on the 29th of November, we'll be at a venue called La in Margate, Kent. And then on the 13th of December, we'll be in London. And that venue is to be confirmed at the moment.
Cool. We should have thought about it. We should have seen if we can get you guys over kind of Bristol way as well. We could have got you to sign some live.
Yeah.
So perhaps what we'll have to do, if anyone's willing to pay more for the ones online, we get you to sign them and send them out from where you are or something.
So. Yeah, no, that's not a problem at all. Yeah, that's not a problem.
Have we set a target? So it was 200 for the last one. What are you aiming to try and get out the door this time?
I'd like to at least match that, but no pressure, but the goal is to double what we did last year. So 400 is what we'd like to sell this year.
Amazing. So, I mean, I haven't seen it yet because it's like we literally talked a few days ago and I'm like, yeah, come on, jump on an interview with me. It's obviously underwear focused, I'm assuming. So is it a similar kind of thing to the Oddballs campaign? Because that was quite gym focused, obviously, because it was in a gym. What kind of images am I likely to see if I get your calendar for this one?
So this calendar is shot in a like a studio room, and the calendar is a mixture of Addicted Underwear and Implied Nude. Right. So it's tasteful, it's not full frontal or anything like that. And we've also incorporated the red ribbon in all of the photos as well. Oh, okay. So me and the models have got like ribbon wrapped around us, different poses, a mixture of, as I say, Implied Nude and underwear.
Cool. So that's, I assume it's a 2026 calendar. So yes. People have got to, well, I mean, you could still buy it in January, February, couldn't you? So plenty of time to hit that 400 odd mark. So if like, because our listeners is not quite in the same area as you, we're more southwest type. But so people want to have a look, we'll try and put some photos up against the podcast so people can have a look at like a preview or something. But if they want to buy it, have you got a website or is it via Instagram or?
Yeah, so it's via Instagram. So you can check out my Instagram, which is JordanWCH92. And the link is in my bio. Or check out M-Words Photography on Instagram. He's the mastermind behind the amazing images and the red ribbon idea. And supported me with the calendar. And a link is in his bio as well.
Cool. Well, you know us. We'll put the link up with our show too. So
if
you didn't manage to scribble them down, just head to our website, Fund the Podcast, and we'll stick it on there too. Are you already planning the next one? I've got to ask because it does seem to be a recurring thing with you. Is this next one kind of in your brain or...?
Well, we'll see. It is becoming a bit of an annual tradition. So probably we'll do one again next year. And yeah, I mean, I just like to help amazing causes, raise some money and raise some awareness. And there's plenty of them out there that need help. So I'm sure we will do another calendar again next year.
Yeah, and I'm sure in part it's thanks to people like yourself that I don't know if you've seen recent news, there's been a lot of movement on things around HIV and potential cures and treatments as well, hasn't there? You know, I mean, I think they're still a long way off being widely available, but if it wasn't for people raising the money to do the research, you know, we wouldn't be as far down the line as we are. And fingers crossed the day that we do actually manage to find a way to cure it and get rid of it, because you know it's a disease you can live with these days, but it's still not one that you would want. If we could eradicate it from the planet, it would be a utopia.
Well, there is a big push at the moment. It's called Zero 30, and it's a big campaign to stop new transmissions of HIV completely by the year 2030. So hopefully this calendar has, you know, a little bit of impact to hitting that target. And like I say, both charities do great work. As many of your listeners will probably know, the Terence Higgins Trust, but the Sussex Beacon is a HIV hospice in Sussex.
Right.
And that is also such a lifeline to people as well, living with HIV. So, and also the calendar is to raise awareness for the charities and to raise money, but it's also to start conversations like we're having now, because there's still a lot of stigma around HIV and a lot of misinformation. Some of my closest friends live with HIV and they face stigma to this day. So it's just basically trying to combat that as well.
Yeah, no, I know exactly the same. I have a lot of friends who do. Obviously, over the years, we've interviewed many people about it. And again, I don't think it's just men. It's one of the, it's just, we're too taboo to talk about it, and we shouldn't. If you talk about it and you're open about it and, you know, do things like get regularly tested, it's, you know, it helps. And I know, because I am a man, we're all terrible at thinking of anything that's like, you know, anything to do with being ill and the like. We don't like doctors and the like, but it is important to know. So, but yeah, good on you for yet again getting your kit off all over a calendar. So we leave them with it as the last thing. Once again, give out your Instagram, because that's where all the links are, isn't it?
Yes. So my Instagram page is Jordan WCH_92. So yeah, check me out on Instagram, and the link is in the bio.
Cool. Well, lovely to catch up with you again, Jordan. I have a feeling I'll be doing it again next year for next year's calendar. But for now, Jordan, everyone.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Nicholas Vince here. You are listening to Shout Out Radio.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Well, there you go. That's from Hocus Pocus 2.
I'm going.
I love the original cast. I love Sarah Jessica Parker in the first one.
I didn't realise it at the time.
Yeah, but in the first one, yeah. I was like a teen.
I don't think she was that famous when she did that.
No, but she was my secret wife. She didn't know it, but I had a poster of just her on the broom.
Is that a bit like, so that's your equivalent of Terry's Tom Daly under the snares, is it?
At the time, it was her and Sandra Bullock were two of my biggest loves, and Winona Ryder.
Oh,
yeah, and Angelina Jolie in Girl Interrupted.
She
specifically
has a girlfriend.
Who?
Angelina Jolie.
Angelina Jolie. Angelina Jolie.
I'm so excited. I've just butchered her name.
Jolie.
Angelina Jolie has a girlfriend currently.
Cool.
That's my news for the day.
Yeah. So, yeah, talking of news.
Yeah, talking of news. That's my news, anyways. Let's get the actual news, shall we?
This is Shoutout News. Welcome along.
The HIV charity Terence Higgins Trust has been in touch with its supporters ahead of World AIDS Day on Monday, December the 1st. THT was active in Bristol between the years 2000 and 2020 and incorporated the Alan Richards Trust, which was the first HIV and AIDS service provider in the city, having opened in November 1985. Alan Richards was the first high-profile person to die from an AIDS-related illness in Bristol, and Terry Higgins, one of the first high-profile people on the gay scene in London to pass on. He had been a DJ at the famous Heaven nightclub. Now, as we look forward to a cure for HIV and the long lives people on treatment lead, we can look back and honour the generation that was taken by the virus. Terence Higgins Trust reports Terry Higgins, our namesake, was the first named person in the UK to die of an AIDS-related illness back in July 82. He would have celebrated his 80th birthday this year. We're hoping to create the first memorial to Terry in his birthplace of Haverford West in Pembrokeshire and install a plaque to mark the site where he was born. If you'd like to help THT create a lasting memorial to Terry Higgins and learn about more about his life, music and times, visit tht.cymru/campaigns.
The Peter Tatchell Foundation for Human Rights reports the head of the Church of Norway, Olav Feix-Sveit, has publicly apologised for decades of discrimination against LGBTQI+ people. He made the apology at the gay bar in Oslo, where an Islamist terrorist killed two people during a past Pride event. The bishop admitted the church caused shame, great harm and pain. Mr Tatchell added this apology is long overdue and a model of humility that the Archbishop of Canterbury should now follow.
The left-wing weekly Socialist Worker reports that a new campaign network affiliated to Stand Up to Racism aims to unite women against the resurgence of the British far right. About 1,000 people came together for the online launch of Women Against the Far Right campaign. Organiser Samira Ali said, "We want to build a movement of women pushing back." She said, "The Labour government is parroting a racist agenda, giving confidence to a street movement. The far right is trying to mobilise in the name of women's safety, but we think this is despicable and we've had enough. It's not refugees who are making us unsafe, it is exactly the people on the far right." The rally was addressed by long-standing anti-racist and MP Diane Abbott. She said, "Sadly, the Labour Party leadership is not saying what it should, that migrants are not a threat to women." Teacher and president of the NEU Education Union, Sarah Kilpatrick, told the rally about the impact the online far right is having on students. She said that the right's lies have, quote, taken hold in such an enormous way. She slammed the defunding of education and the destruction, she said, of education for working class students. She said that the lack of optimism is tangible and it leads children to some really unpleasant places.
LGBTQI+ Roman Catholics have for the first time been invited to participate in conversations at the Vatican. The Holy See, which is the spiritual home for Roman Catholics globally, it is a reflection of how the new Pope Leo plans to build on the reforming and bridge-building work of his predecessor, the late Pope Francis. In a press release about the Jubilee of the Synod, which they are attending, representatives of Dignity USA, the world's largest LGBTQI+ Catholic organisation, said Dignity USA Secretary Sam Albano and Executive Director Marianne Dudley Burke have been participants in the Synod of Jubilee teams and participatory bodies. This Vatican event runs October 24th to 26th, 2025. They applied as representatives of Dignity USA and the application was approved by Synod officials.
RTE Radio 1 and The Guardian carried breaking news at Saturday afternoon after the election of Catherine Connolly, an independent, left-of-centre, LGBT+ friendly and eco-friendly candidate for the role of Irish president. Connolly polled nearly a million votes, with her main competitor for the Fine Gael party dropping to around 400,000. Connolly takes over what is largely a ceremonial head of state function, but it was noted that her election shows what happens when progressive and leftist parties unite. Initially just representing the Social Democrats and People Before Profit parties, Connolly later picked up endorsement from the Irish Labour Party and Sinn Féin, and the Left Unity brought in resources and professionalism to her campaign. Ms. Connolly said she would represent the underrepresented at a political level and seek to unite the country, where, as elsewhere in Europe, right-wing populism has become an increasing problem.
Lesbian hero Sandy Toksvig will be living her dream of being an archaeologist in a new programme for More 4 Television. Channel 18 Freeview, also on Sky, Virgin and other cable packages. In Hidden Wonders, she will join her friend, broadcaster and editor of Archaeology magazine, Rakshir Dave, in exploring some of the latest digs from around the UK. Sandy said, "This is the dream job for a history and archaeology enthusiast like me. It's a total privilege to be given access to professional archaeological dig sites and to join Raksha and the teams as they dig to reveal the history of our country from right beneath our feet. Hidden Wonders will air in November on More 4.
And finally, it's another festival this weekend, one which has a considerable importance for the LGBTQIA plus communities, who have adopted it as their own. Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, has its roots in ancient Irish and Celtic religions and has been incorporated into Catholicism as well. For many LGBT plus pagans, it's a point in the year when the veil between the living and the dead is at its thinnest and is a time for honouring ancestors with respect and care. This observance has also been incorporated into the Mexican calendar, where a fusion between Catholicism and ancient religions has produced the Day of the Dead celebrations on the 2nd of November. The pagan bookstore in Glastonbury, Goddess and the Green Man, puts it this way. Samhain is one of the major festivals of the Wheel of the Year, and for some, the most important. It's the third and final harvest of nuts and berries and a fire festival. The harvest is in, it's the end of the cycle of birth and growth and the point of death. The seeds of the harvest have fallen deep into the dark earth, and it's truly a magical time. Death is always followed by rebirth, and whilst this is the end of the old year, it's the beginning of the new. For the Celts, the day did not begin at dawn, it began at sunset and darkness. Light is always born out of darkness. With the beginning of this dark phase comes the opportunity to rest and reflect on the past and to dream of new beginnings. LGBTQIA plus people will be marking the season with parties, dressing up spookily or as cultural figures and raising a glass to departed ones. This is a time for magic, however you mark it. And so we wish you a happy Halloween and hope that your wishes for the Celtic New Year ahead come true. Take care if you're out clubbing or drinking, and look after each other after the gay bars close this weekend.
That's Shout Out News. We'll be back in the first week of November for more. In the meantime, do check out LGBTQIA plus and community media near you. Listen to LGBTQIA plus podcasts and radio, and check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shout Out News, this has been Terry Starr
and Ezra Peregrine.
Don't say a word.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. So
Film Week's, well, almost, not quite at an end. We're on the last Saturday, aren't we? Berwyn's back with us. How's it been going?
It's been a memorable festival. People have been happy, and people have been, you know, opening night was on a Monday night, as we call it, a school night.
Yeah.
And we were full, and the programme of films were joyous and fun, and there was a little bit for everybody, you know. I did use my Christmas metaphor again and said it was a little bit like opening a ginormous old-fashioned metal tin of quality seats. None of these plastic,
rubbish.
Concave bottoms where there's a fraction of sweet in. But no, it was joyous, and the theme throughout the week has been very much watch films and meet filmmakers. And
yeah, I have to say, well, it's been stunning because this is like our first proper year, like being involved with it. The quality of them, you think, especially where like some of them, it's not their primary job. I mean, we were interviewing the people who made Departures yesterday, and they're like, you know, we don't, this isn't our livelihood. We do other things as well, and fitting it in is quite a hard thing. You wouldn't know. They're like proper top-notch films, even The Shorts.
Yeah. Well, it's something we've been aware of, but we've expanded and grown gradually. So, you know, we've always, for example, celebrated cultural films made by community groups or education groups or micro shorts. But they were, you know, they were events independent of the film festival. And, you know, very quickly you kind of ask yourself, why are we distinguishing between the two? And so we've brought the community work into the main body of the film festival. They get their work seen on a big screen, which they would never, ever get to do.
Oh, quite a few of the people who did The Shorts we spoke to yesterday were like, it's just amazing being part of it. And they also say things like, and it's going on Channel 4. I can't believe my movie's going on Channel 4. Yeah. They were absolutely elated about
it. Oh, no, it's well, they were on last night for the first time. It's for many of them, as you've just said, you know, it's their first piece of work on broadcast television, on terrestrial television. But, you know, we've had four filmmakers coming over from Australia, and their own steam. You know, they've paid Canada, India, United States, various countries in Europe. So, you know, we've had Norway. It's become quite. With marketing, you say what you want to happen, and pretend that it is happening. And you know, I've used a lot of smoke and mirrors in my time, but I've attempted never to lie. And today, you know, we're in a position where, you know, we will have had 7 days of celebrations and people enjoying. Unfortunately, I did start I did start with a bit of a speech which was a little bit. Wasn't totally political, but I did mention some people's anxieties about where we are within the LGBTQ plus world.
We're not in nearly as good a place at the moment as we should be.
No, and I think I mentioned this when I was with you in the studio a couple of weeks ago. You know, Russell T. Davis. Subsequently,
he's been very vocal,
and I just sort of felt, because I'd spent a few hours with him recently, and I just sort of felt, for me not to say something at the beginning of the festival would have been a bit strange. But
even things in the festival, like Bury Your Gaze, very much points out that trope and really highlights that actually it's still a big issue in the film industry, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's you know, I think what's good about the festival in particular is that there is a very clear, stark realization of what's happening at the moment, which is, I think, I will use the word dangerous, because I don't think anybody will come for us deliberately, but I think they will start asking questions and starting debates that we don't need, because we've been there and done that. And but we've also managed to have fun. There's been a lot of laughter, there's been a lot of giggles, and there's been some really sexy films. I mean,
I never thought I'd see Alan Cummings in the state he was in a certain film.
You know, joyous, silly, funny, irreverent, the whole gamut of human emotion. I was also thrilled that Dawn Airey chaired Channel 4, and she's obviously led almost every terrestrial broadcast in the UK, including Channel 5, where she actually, I was quoted, the mundane ordinary, which I think I've used with you guys in the station, and she, you know, she said, what a beautiful phrase. And it's bizarre, because it's what we have at Iris, you know, some of the stories are the beautiful ordinary, you know. And that's not a negative thing, you know, because, you know, we don't need, I'm, you know, we're all sick and tired, aren't we, of lesbians being murdered by the third reel, by their psychopathic girlfriend, you know, or the gay politician being blackmailed because he loves men.
To be fair, from what I'm told from a certain co-shout-outer, lesbian space princess does get it fairly right in the first bit.
There's, I remember once showing a film, and you could find comedy and humour in lots of different places, but it was, it was a film which I thought was quite funny, but it was about a couple, a relationship which was in disarray. There were gay male couples in disarray as well. The whole thing was a smorgasbord of disaster. But we had some very angry lesbians who were very annoyed and that we featured such films with such negative representation. And then I had a lesbian come up to me. She was joyous, and she just said, do you know what? She was just like my ex. There you are. I mean, you can't please everybody all the time.
Are you judged this year again?
No, I've...
You were removed from it this year, were you?
Do you know what? I've never judged.
Have you not?
I've never judged from the very beginning. I adopted... I'm shouting because of the background noise. I adopted from the very beginning the idea that our job was to run the festival.
Right.
Our job was to make it a wonderful experience for the public. So the jury business delegated, asked other people to do it.
Right.
Which allows
We spoke to one, and he was saying it was his first year, but it was very difficult. Because the calibre of the movies was so high. So we've announced so far Best of British, which
Best
went
British,
to,
yeah.
Blackout, didn't it? Absolutely phenomenal film.
Yeah.
I mean, were you quite excited to see that was the one that won? Is it the one you would have picked, or are you not going to give that away?
Well, I don't for a second want to be accused of being a politician. And I will say there were, in Berwyn's book, there were probably four, maybe five shorts that I personally felt shone and stood out for me, and it was one of those. So yeah. I think that's accurate. Oh God, no, that sounds like a politician.
It's not easy to pick. I do think that
Did you think it was any good?
What? Blackout?
Yeah.
I thought it was phenomenal. Yeah. It was when I saw it, I was like, if that's not a winner, it's going to be up there at the top. And I would, it would have been hard to choose. There's quite a few. I found some of them. I mean, there are a lot that are very comedic, the gay one for the blood-sucking vampire. I just laughed my head off through that. But then you also see the one in Nigeria with the police, and that's dark. I was actually quite pleased that was then followed with Barrier Gates, which is quite comical, you know.
Yeah.
And I was in the... And it's quite different, because you watch it on the pre-screener as press, and you're kind of on your own, and you kind of laugh. Then when you're actually in the auditorium with a whole bunch of other people, and she gets hit by that bus, and everyone just jumps and goes, ah, you're like, oh yeah, it really is kind of like one of those moments.
You've reminded me of opening night and, you know, the experience for filmmakers and how different it is. If you're making short films, unless your film is successful, you don't really get to see it with lots of people. And obviously on opening night we had a Welsh language and horror film and horror comedy, and it's hilarious. They were interviewed on stage, and he was just saying that he was discovering the film almost by the laughter of the audience. The only thing I think he also realizes is that there's lots of swearing in it. And
in Welsh, though, I appreciate.
Anyway, well, yeah. but it's
So we've got this evening, and then obviously there's bits on tomorrow. Then I believe the tour kicks off beginning next year.
Yeah, the tour starts the end of January.
End of January.
Yeah, so it'll be visiting, you know, returning to the places it visited this year. We're hoping to be in a position to increase the number of venues. So I don't know what the target is, but I know we hit about 50 something venues this year.
Wow.
So we'll see how it goes. We're going to be doing it this year in partnership again with S4C, the Welsh Language TV channel. So you might see a Tolldy, which was the Welsh horror comedy that I mentioned. There's a couple of things from the festival that we'll be touring.
Right.
But
of course, it's quite a special year next year.
Yeah.
Anything specific planned, or are we too early to get any snippets of next year's festival?
I think
it seems a bit odd asking you about next year when we're still in the middle of this year.
Well, we will be announcing something with the BBC tomorrow, which is a project for 2027. No, 26.
2026 next year.
No, we will be tomorrow announcing one project, I think, for the 20th anniversary year in 2026. But we'll also be, at the end of January, we'll be holding an event in London where we'll be presenting the third Iris Fellowship. But we'll also be sharing the key moments for the rest of the year, but that's not happening until the end of January. We've still got Iris 2035 to go, because obviously, you know, we've got two more days, well, a day and a half here in Cardiff, but of course we're continuing online until the 7th of November, so you can still watch all the British shorts, all the international shorts, and some special added editions. And that's available on the Iris website until in 7th of November. So cool. Still lots to do.
And for the listeners, what's the web address they need to head to?
www.irisprize.org. But we're on Instagram, we're on X, we're on Facebook. I'm probably on a platform that I don't even know exists, but but I'm fairly certain we don't have an OnlyFans page. I'm not sure if Iris would approve.
Well, listen, it's been an honour and a privilege to be here and be part of it this year, and congratulations, because from everything we've seen, it's been a phenomenal festival.
Thank you.
I can't wait to celebrate the 20th with you next year.
Andy, thank you very much. Very kind.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I think I picked the wrong version.
I think you picked the right version.
The techno version.
Yeah, the techno version.
What are you saying? It reminds you of Berlin?
Yeah, I feel like I'm in Berlin in Halloween now. Oh.
Why Berlin? Why is it reminding you of Berlin?
Because it's just like heavy beat.
They do. They do like their techno.
Yeah, they love their techno.
Their
techno raves. Oh. You know, there's a strong fist pump going always in Berlin. You're just always out there.
Hurt my ears.
Oh,
yeah. Bless me.
Turn your headphones down, my outfits.
They are down.
They're the
fact they came off when that came on.
Skeleton.
And before that was Berwin we were talking to from the Iris Film Festival. Yeah. We had a lovely time over there, didn't we?
It was fantastic. Great to see all the LGBT films really being celebrated.
Yes. And Alan, you know, Alan Cummings was in one of them.
Yes, yes.
He's announced he's starting an LGBT Festival of Art.
Really?
Which will include films as well. Yes,
wow.
That's coming, I think, February next year, it's due.
Do you know where?
No.
No, okay.
No.
To be announced.
Probably could go find the article. I was reading an article in the middle.
Well, you never know. So. Shout out might be there to cover.
Yeah, it would be nice.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
So,
get some coverage for you.
If you're listening, Alan,
other breaking news, the Netherlands is due to get its first ever gay prime minister.
As they should.
After the far right party suffered lots of losses. Apparently, his whole campaign has not been about his sexuality, though. He's actually been campaigning. He just happens to be gay. Which is what it should be. Yeah.
He's very switched on cookie. He comes across as super intelligent.
Cookie. His name's Cookie.
Switched on cookie.
What's
wrong with you people?
I've never heard that expression before.
Get to grips.
How do you switch on a cookie?
That's a good question, actually. How do you switch on a cookie? It's like, how many people does it take to change a light bulb? How many people does it take to switch on a cookie? I don't know.
You just plug it in.
Where? And on a chocolate chip?
Chocolate chips melt.
Okay, this is not going the way I thought this conversation was going to go.
So he's really switched on about politics, though, Steph. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so. And life, really. He comes across as just being switched on and very, very knowledgeable about everything around the planet.
I always like the Dutch. I think that they're very like the English, but kind of just slightly more liberal and more progressive in the
bit. And they like orange way more.
Yes, well, indeed, orange is there. It's the national colour.
It's great if you're over there when they have their is it Queen's Day?
Yes.
Where everything changes
got, like,
to orange.
Massive parade all the way through.
Wow. Yeah, it's cool. And everything goes orange
everything.
As well.
Everything.
So hello to our Dutch listeners as well.
Anyway, that's it. Have a spooktacular Halloween.
We're always looking for new members, so if you want to get involved in LGBT plus radio and podcast, give us a shout. Head out to shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Yes. Next week it's Earth Week. It's also fireworks too, isn't it? Next week, is it fireworks?
Yeah, we can't do that in the studio, can we?
But we can do Earth Week.
We can do Earth. I'll bring some soil in, don't worry.
So, from me, from Terry, from Ayers, from Steph, from Arby, and from Adair, say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
I've got the names right this week. Yay.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.